The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's turn in the Psalms this evening to Psalm 139. Let's read now the Psalm. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Thus far we read the inspired word of God this evening. The text is verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 139 is a devotional application of the lofty doctrinal subject of the infinity of God. Psalm 139 teaches us the omniscience of God. That is, God is all-knowing or infinite in knowledge. It teaches the omnipresence of God, that He is everywhere present or infinite with respect to space, and that He is omnipotent, that is, all powerful or infinite with respect to His ability. A few weeks ago, we looked at verses 13 through 16, which is the psalmist's application of the doctrine of the psalm, namely the infinity of God, to the womb. And we saw how the psalmist David was overwhelmed and full of comfort to know that when he was a microscopic embryo in his mother's womb, the all-knowing God knew him. And the everywhere present God was with him. And the all-powerful God was fashioning him in the womb. How precious are all of these thoughts to David. Tonight, for our preparatory sermon, we consider David's application of the main doctrine of the psalm to self-examination. The ultimate proof and the final application of the omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence of God is that God can search the sinner's heart. No man knows the depths of the heart, but God does. He is omniscient. And no man is there in the heart, but God is. God is omnipresent. And no man is able to gain access to the heart, but God can, because God is omnipotent. He can do all things. And so we pray with David, "Search me, O God." And this is not for God's sake. God doesn't need to learn what is in our heart. He's omniscient. This is for our sake. With David, we hate our sin, and during this week of self-examination, we want our faithful God to search us out, and if there are any sins within us, that God will lay them before us so that we can know what is in us and acknowledge and abhor the sin and confess them before God and have pardon. This will be one of the most painful exercises in the Christian religion. Don't utter the prayer lightly. Self-examination is serious business. And it's very painful. To ask God to search us and try us and lay before us what is in our heart, that can be very, very painful. But by the power of faith, this prayer that would ordinarily be very terrifying is a prayer we desire to offer unto God, and with David we will. Let's consider it tonight under the theme, "Praying that God search me," noticing three things. First, the idea. Second, the purpose. And third, the activity. Verse 23, David says, "Search me, O God." To search is to conduct an investigation by thoroughly examining something. An archaeologist may go into the cave in search of buried treasure or papyrus fragments or bones or some artifact from an ancient civilization. And he may even get down on his belly and carefully and methodically sift through layer after layer of dirt. He's searching. And David prays, "Search me, O God." This searching includes trying. Verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." To try means to take whatever has been found in the search and weigh it according to some standard. Test it. Examine it as to its quality. So if an archaeologist unearths some artifact, he wants to examine it to determine whether it is an authentic and valuable piece of ancient history, or perhaps it's just a piece of cheap debris that was recently discarded. He tries it. And when asking God to search him, David is asking that God take whatever it is he finds in him and he try it. He weigh it according to the standard of his word. Is it good or bad? And a synonym for trying is found in verse 24 when David adds, and see if. He wants God to take whatever he unearths in our heart and see if it is good or evil. Try it. Examine it. This searching also includes knowing. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The word emphasizes David's sincere desire for a very careful and thorough searching so that God truly knows what is in him, whether good or evil. Know me. Search, try, see, know. This is a prayer for self-examination. It is search, try, see, and know me. David's not praying that God search Saul or Michael or Absalom or Ahithophel. Seems to be perhaps a traitorous fellow. Search him, O God. No, in this week of self-examination, we're not asking God and praying to God that he search out the heart of our brother because we're very concerned that our brother's living a hypocritical life. Or that God would search out the heart of our sister because we think she might be hardened in her sin. Or that God even search out the hearts of our sons and daughters or one of our children. Maybe he or she is not living the life of faith and godliness. This prayer of self-examination is search me, O God, me. And it is a prayer for such a thorough searching that David prays, search me, O God, and know my heart. The heart is the deepest place on earth. It would be easier to access the deepest channels of the Pacific, 7 miles below the surface. Or to search out one of the lowest parts of the earth, which according to the earlier part of the psalm is the woman's womb. It would be easier to search out a woman's womb. It would be easier to search out the core of the earth than to search out a man's heart. We don't have access to the heart. No one has access to the heart of another person. You don't have access to my heart. And I don't have any access to your heart. The elders don't have access to your heart. Your parents do not have access to your heart. Your doctor does not have access to your heart. We may see the fruits of conduct which are external. And we may hear the testimony of the mouth, which is external. And on the basis of those things, we will make a judgment about another person. But we don't have access to the heart. And when one does speak uprightly and matches that confession with an upright life of godliness, we judge one charitably and judge one to have a pure heart. But we don't really know with certainty what is in the heart because we don't have access to the heart. We don't even know exactly what's in our own heart. There are many movements in the heart that lie below the level of our own consciousness. But the heart is so important because the heart is the center of a man. Proverbs 4 verse 23 teaches that the heart is the source out of which come all of the issues of life. As the heart is, so is the character of a man. So when David says, search me, O God, and know my heart, he's asking God to perform a most thorough investigation upon his inner being and search out, sift through every particle of spiritual dust in his heart. Unearth every intention and desire and inclination and take everything that he finds and lay it out and examine it according to His infallible word. Search me, O God, in my heart, and try me. To ask God to search the heart, then, is to ask God to search our entire being, for all that we are rises out of the heart. David makes special mention of his thoughts. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. In fact, he has been calling special attention to the thoughts regarding himself. Verse 2, thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Regarding God, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Our thoughts are still something hidden within us that are not external for others to see, but we are more conscious of our thoughts. We are not conscious of all of our thoughts, but we are conscious of many of our thoughts as they arise out of our inmost being. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. A man knows what he's thinking. He knows if he's thinking evil thoughts, impure thoughts, cruel thoughts, selfish thoughts, angry thoughts, arrogant thoughts. And he also knows if his thoughts are just and pure and lovely and of a good report. He has so many thoughts. The mind is like a factory and it's humming. The mind is always churning out thoughts. We're told about 40 thoughts a minute. The mind is so busy. Even when we're daydreaming, even if you're daydreaming right now, you're thinking. That's what daydreaming is. It's letting the mind go in thought. We're always thinking. And David wants someone to be privy to his thoughts. He wants someone to go in and know all of his thoughts, but not only know them, dig them all up, lay them all bare, and weigh them in the balance to test the character of all those thoughts. This is his prayer for self-examination. Search me, O God, and know me, and then tell me, show me what is in my heart, that I may know myself. A prayer that God search me. O God, he says, verse 23, search me, O God. God is the unsearchable one, we sang 394. Great is the Lord, our mighty God, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable, above all glory raised. As difficult as it is to search out the heart of a man, it is utterly impossible even to begin to try to search out the divine. God is unsearchable. He does not subject himself to us and our eyes and our hands and our balance that we may weigh him in our scale. He cannot be searched out. That's his glory as God. But he searches us. So we will sing in a little while 384 in the Psalter, which is entitled The Searcher of Hearts. That's who he is. He's the searcher of hearts. Oh God, he's the great God who can search out hell. And he can search out heaven. He's the great God who can search out the womb and see right into the darkness of the womb of every pregnant woman and see the baby he is fearfully and wonderfully making with his hand. He can search out every human being, go right into every cell and search it out. But he's also the great God who searches, and this is the climax of the psalm, he's the great God that searches the heart, can know the inclinations of the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He is the great searcher with very pure eyes and very holy hands, who takes a human being and searches out his heart. But don't forget, he's Jehovah. He's the faithful God of everlasting love in his covenant. Like as a father looks with so much pity upon his son, so the Lord who searches our hearts, David knows this, looks with so much pity upon his son or upon his daughter, whom he searches out in love. His searching of us is a wonder work of salvation. It's one of his great works in us and for us. And David knows that, that the God of love will search him. Otherwise, he would never dare pray. Search me, O God, and know me. A prayer that God search me. David has a threefold purpose in this prayer for divine searching. He wants God to confirm, expose, and lead. First, David's purpose is that God search him out in order to confirm the sincerity of his heart. This is indicated by the preceding context. David makes a most remarkable confession in verses 21 and 22. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. David loves his enemies insofar as they are his personal enemies, who hate him and who with their bloody hands want to destroy him. But insofar as they are the enemies of God, and they hate God, and they rise up against and challenge and blaspheme God, and seek to destroy the covenant of God, David hates them. And he hates them as they are the enemies of his God because he loves God. Love for God is hatred for certain people who are the enemies of God. But many people might question the sincerity of David's confession and suspect that he is hypocritical when he says, do not I hate them? I hate them with perfect hatred, and suspect that in his heart there is actually anger and bitterness and personal vindictiveness toward other people. So David turns to his God and he prays for the confirmation of the sincerity of his heart, saying, search me, O God, and know me. David knows he's not sinless. Of course there are impurities in his heart. He knows that. But he is praying, search me, O God, in the depths of my heart, where the Holy Spirit of zeal abides within me. Did not this expression of hatred for thy enemies, who I now count as my enemies, arise out of that pure principle of love for thee? Confirm my holy zeal for thy covenant and the cause of thy name in this world. This is a prayer of every soldier of the cross who does battle in the church for the cause of God. and who faces hatred and opposition and attacks from ungodly God haters. A kind of prayer that a man like Luther or Calvin could probably regularly utter, and others who are fighting valiantly for the cause of God among those who hate God and His truth and His covenant. And as they fight for the sake of God, they harshly condemn God haters because the name of God is at stake. And they are charged with being haters of the neighbor. And they go to God in prayer saying, "Search me, O God, and confirm that my zeal does in fact arise out of that pure principle of regeneration in my heart and is not any evidence of wickedness deep in me where thy spirit abides." The purpose of David is, first of all, that God will confirm his sincerity and reassure him. But in the second place, David understands very well how weak and sinful he is. And so this prayer is also and especially a prayer to God that God expose his sin, whatever it may be. David wants the Lord to show him whatever inside him is sinful. And that's why he continues in verse 24 saying, "And see if there be any wicked way in me." Lord, is there a wicked way in me? Show me. Wicked way is an intriguing expression. Wicked here means painful. Painful in the sense of forced labor. And the great Old Testament picture is that of the Israelites in Egypt who were forced to labor under the authority of the Egyptian taskmasters who were whipping them. Way, of course, refers to a path where there's direction, progress, and an end. And so a wicked way is a grueling path down which a slave or prisoner walks in his heavy chains until he finally ends up in the labor camp where he will slowly die in agony. The wicked way. A wicked way describes the path to hell on which the sinner walks as a slave to Satan in utter spiritual agony. It's very painful to the heart. But the sad irony is that the sinner loves his way. He loves his chains. He loves his master. He loves his stripes. He loves his sin. A wicked way may be the way of pride in which Absalom walked. Absalom was enslaved to his own high estimation of himself, and he was ambitiously pursuing power and positions of influence, ruthlessly running roughshod over anyone who would dare to step in his way. And all the way that Absalom went, he was miserable in his heart. He was enslaved to Satan, but yet he loved it. He loved his sin as he went toward hell. That's a wicked way. A wicked way may be the way of unbelief and challenging the God of Israel, in rising up against God and reviling his works and trying to take counsel against him and his anointed, as Shimei did when he cursed David as the anointed of the God of the covenant. He was a miserable man in his heart, but he loved to curse the anointed. The wicked way may be the way of infidelity, the way of pornography, the way of adultery, the way in which David did walk for a time. On this road, Satan may have one enslaved in sin. It's a way straight to hell. But one loves his sin and would bristle if anyone would try to get him off his path of adultery. It's a wicked, wicked way. The wicked way may be one of hypocrisy and coming to the temple on the holy day, but all week long lying and cheating and stealing, and then coming to the temple, but not putting even one widow's mite in the coffer for a temple tax because one is a greedy thief at heart. He's walking the wicked way. Or a wicked way may be the way of self-reliance and the utter abandonment of God and His word and prayer and seeking of counsel before God. A wicked way. It's the way of impenitence. It's the way that leads to hell. It's the way on which the sinner is increasingly hardened in his sin. And though his heart has no true joy, he loves his way. In this psalm, and now in the text, David is expressing a rather profound theological point when he identifies the source of the wicked way as being located in the heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And the theological point, therefore, is that when a sinner is walking the wicked way, there may be any number of factors that help advance the progression in wickedness. The sinner may be surrounded by wicked friends, shouldn't be his friends, wicked people, wicked companions who are helping hurry him along in wickedness. The sinner may be influenced by bad examples in his background, where he learned that finding pleasure in sin was acceptable. The sinner may have access to all kinds of opportunities and instruments and tools for the satisfaction of his flesh in his sin. But none of those things is the source, is the origin, is the root of his wicked way. His heart is. Now, strictly speaking, a wicked way can't be in the heart because a way is a path on which you walk. A way is the life that you live. But insofar as that wicked way arises out of a principle, and that principle is located in the heart, the wicked way is in the heart. And David understands that. Any wicked way can be traced right back to the sinner's heart. David is not on the wicked way. David is not living for the sins and the pleasures of the wicked world. David is not enslaved to sin. Far from it. David is living in purity, in love for his God. Read Psalm 139. David is on the mountaintop of faith. His faith in Jehovah God. He's on the way everlasting, but he's concerned that there may be a disastrous beginning of a wicked way in him. He doesn't want any corrupt inclination lingering in his heart, lest it develop into a wicked way. He doesn't want a disgruntled spirit within. He doesn't want any self-deception within. No hypocrisy within. No selfishness, no anger, no bitterness, no pride, no unclean lust, no desire for revenge in his heart. Not only because all of those things are absolutely abhorrent to God, but because those things might be the beginning of a wicked way. And he knows from experience what happens when a little lust lingers in the heart and it's not extinguished. It can develop into a wicked way involving Bathsheba. Oh, God, So David prays, O God, search me and know my heart. And the purpose is that God would go into his heart and find any sinful inclination and lay it bare before David so that David can be conscious of it and acknowledge it and abhor it and confess it honestly and receive forgiveness from God. The purpose is the exposing of sin. Third and finally, David's purpose in this prayer is that God lead him. And that's how he concludes the text in the psalm. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The wicked way and the way everlasting are opposites. They are contrasted here. The everlasting way, that's not a way of pain. That's not a grueling way of forced labor under Satan. That's the way of delight in the freedom of justification. That's the way of blessedness and communion with God. That's the way of happiness and the power of the Spirit. The everlasting way, it doesn't make progress in sin, but on the everlasting way, there's progress in holiness. And on the everlasting way, the end is not hell, but the end is everlasting life with God in heaven. And the everlasting way, it has its source too. And its source is in the eternal electing heart of God. The everlasting way begins in God's heart, and it runs through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and into the heart of an elect believer like David. And when David prays, lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and lead me in the way everlasting. He's praying that God may see in his heart the beginning of that way. That principle of regeneration. And that God may maintain it in his heart and cause it to work out in his life so that David does not walk in the wicked way, but so that he walks in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know me. Number one, confirm the integrity of my heart in the confession I just made. Number two, expose my sin that I may know my sin and confess it. And number three, take me and lead me from the heart in the way everlasting. The activity of the text then is the activity of prayer, is the activity of David looking up to God in faith and praying. Let that be the activity of us this week then, that we pray, search me, O God, in a week of self-examination. Self-examination, as we noted in the introduction, is difficult. It's easy to talk about. It's easy to listen to a sermon on self-examination. It's easy to make and preach a sermon on self-examination. But to actually do it on Monday. Actually to fold your hands and over the Bible, pray from the heart. Search me, O God. It's difficult. But let this be our prayer. May the Spirit make this our prayer, and not once, but let it be a repeated activity. For verse 1 begins the psalm, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And then the psalm concludes, do it again. Do it again, O God. Search me and know me. Repeated activity. And let it be ours this week. And as we engage in this activity, let's remember three characteristics of this prayer. Number one, this is the prayer of a saint. No unbeliever would ever utter this prayer. There's a certain fear I have in uttering this prayer, and so do you. There's a hesitancy. It's located in my flesh, but there's a real hesitancy to pray this. There's many prayers in Scripture that are much easier to pray. What is he going to find? What kinds of hideous sins will God find deep in my heart and lay out before me? And might he use other people? And might he use circumstances in my life to expose a weakness in me? And there I am brought to utter humiliation. Sometimes I'm not so sure I want to utter this prayer. And that's when I'm weak in the flesh, and you say the same thing. But if there's a hesitancy in the believer, imagine the terror and the resentment in an unbeliever. No unbeliever would ever dare even begin to imagine praying, "Open up my heart, O God, and take all of the abominable darkness and expose it and try it and weigh it." This is the prayer of a saint. This is a holy prayer, a heavenly prayer. It can only come out of the heart and mouth of a saint in whose heart is the Holy Spirit. There's no pride in this prayer. There's no arrogant presumption in this prayer. There's no attempt to try to hide something from God in this prayer. This is a prayer of humility. It's a prayer of total submission before God. It's a prayer implicitly acknowledging sinfulness before God. And you will only ever hear a spirit-filled saint praying, "Search me, O God. Open up my heart and sift through every inclination and desire and try everything that is in me and show me that I may acknowledge it in truth and abhor it from the heart." This is the prayer of a saint. You are saints. The Spirit is in your heart. Pray. You will pray. "Search me, O God." Secondly, this is a prayer of faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. There's only one man, looking at this prayer from another point of view now, there's only one man who can utter this prayer, and that's the man who is so confident in the love that Jesus Christ has for him and has the confidence of faith to know that he has a thorough washing in the blood of the Messiah. The blood of Jesus alone can explain how someone would dare say, "Search me, O God." And not only say it in prayer, but sing it. This is a psalm. This is a song. This is a prayer for self-examination that was written to be sung with jubilation in the temple. Of all of the songs that you have ever heard, how many times you hear songs singing for God to come and search out the heart. But this is exactly that. It's a song. And the only explanation for how a human being can sing to the judge to come and search out his heart is if that human being knows with the full assurance of faith that he has a thorough washing in the blood of Jesus. Prayer of faith. And third and finally, this is an answered prayer, and that's confirmed by verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And that indicates that when we pray, "Search me," God will. He does. He answers this prayer through the Spirit and the Word. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. any sin that could ever be found in our heart is addressed in the Bible. Somehow. Somewhere. And when we pray to God to search us, God will take His word. He will. And He will have that word applied to us pointedly in such a way that His word, through the Spirit, exposes something sinful within us and then gives us the desire to confess it before His face. And God may even use another person who comes alongside us with the Scriptures and makes an application to our life whereby some sin in us is exposed. He will answer. He will show us our sins. And we will confess them by the same Spirit. And God pardons. He always pardons. And we'll come to Holy Communion next week. And God will declare unto us how He pardons us of all of our sins. And as we pray this petition, God will lead us in the way everlasting. And that way is going to take us, if God wills it, next Sunday morning, right back here, where the table will be furnished before us. And again, God will reassure us of His love. And if we are ever surrounded by bloody men who hate us, but hate us only because they hate the God whom we confess. They loathe God and they want to destroy God in His covenant. And we confess, do not I hate these thy haters, O God? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And then we pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. God will reassure us through His Spirit that confession of hatred did arise out of His Holy Spirit in us, which Spirit puts in the depths of our heart love for God. And it's out of love for God that we would say of God's haters, do not I hate them, O God, that hate Thee. We pray, search me, O God. And God does. He answers. In His grace. Amen. Let us pray. Our faithful Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the opportunity to read Psalm 139. The reading of it alone is profitable for us tonight. But in addition to the reading, the exposition of the last two verses, and we pray that there may be spiritual profit for us this week in this text, so that Thy Holy Spirit moves us to pray with David for Thy searching of us. Bring us, O God, back together. Bring us in safety. We pray that all of us may be kept this week, kept from physical danger, but especially kept from the spiritual dangers all around us and from the devil himself. Draw us with cords of love back together around the table of Holy Communion, where there is the testimony of Thy everlasting love for us in Jesus Christ. And that to us is better than life. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.